ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 Chapter 23, verse number, chapter number 20, verse number 23. Thank you. Ruturvacha.
Ruturvacha.
Varam vibhotvad varadeshvara buddha.
Varam vibhotvad varadeshvara buddha.
Katam rinite runa vikriyatmana. From the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest of the bestowers of benedictions, Buddha, a learned person, Katham, how Vrinite could ask for Guna Vikriya, bewildered by the modes of material nature. Atmanam, of the living entities, which Narakanam, of the living entities living in hell,
Api,
also
Shanti,
exist. Dehinam,
of the embodied,
Tam,
all those.
Isha,
Isha,
O Supreme Lord.
Kaivalyapate,
O bestower of merging in the existence of the Lord. Vrine,
I ask for.
Not.
Cha, also.
Translation. My dear Lord, you are the best of the demigods who can offer benedictions. Why, therefore, should any learned person ask you for benedictions meant for living entities bewildered by the modes of nature? Such benedictions are available automatically, even in the lives of living entities suffering in hellish conditions. My dear Lord, you can certainly bestow merging into your existence, but I do not wish to have such a benediction. Translation with repetition. My dear Lord, you are the best of the demigods.
You are the best of the demigods
who can offer benedictions.
Why therefore,
should any learned person Ask you for benedictions.
Meant for living entities.
Bewildered by the modes of nature. Such benedictions are available automatically.
Even in the lives of living entities.
Suffering in hellish conditions. My dear Lord.
You can certainly bestow merging into your existence.
But I do not wish to have such a benediction. There are different kinds of benedictions according to a person's demands. For karmis, the best benediction is promotion to the higher planetary systems, where the duration of life is very long and standard of living and happiness is very high. There are others, namely jnanis and yogis, who want the benediction of merging into the existence of the Lord. This is called Kaivalya. The Lord is therefore addressed as Kaivalyapati, the master of the Lord of the benedictions known as Kaivalya. But devotees receive a different type of benediction from the Lord. Devotees are anxious neither for the heavenly planets nor for merging into the existence of the Lord. According to devotees, Kaivalya or merging into the existence of the Lord is considered as good as hell. The word Naraka means hell. Similarly, everyone who exists in this material world is called Naraka, because this material existence itself is known as hellish condition of life. Ruta Maharaj, however, expressed that he was interested neither in the benediction desired by the karmis nor by the desired by the jnanis and yogis. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Prabhu, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, described that Kaivalya is no better than a hellish condition of life. And as far as the delights of the heavenly planets, they are factually willow of the wisps or phantasmagoria. They are not wanted by devotees. Devotees do not even care for the positions held by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor does a devotee desire to become equal with the Lord Vishnu. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj made his position very clear. Om Ajnanati Virandas, Jnanjana Salataya, Chakshirun Mirtan, Himadasmai Sri Dharavayana, Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam, Svabhutam, Yadavayana, Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam, Dadapri Svatam, Vikram, Narayana, Jnanam, Chaiva Narottamam, Devim Satsatam, Yasat, Tato Jaya Mahiri, Tatraya Shabadresh, Bhagavata Sivaya, Bhagavati Uttama Svati, आराध्यो भगवान रजेशतनया सद्धामवृंदावन रम्यां काचिदपासना व्रजवधूवर्गेण वा कल्पितः श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणमवनं प्रेमकृमार्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्यमहाप्रभुर्मतस्य तत्र धरा नमस्कारः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सव गौरवंदन हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम So in this chapter, the chapter is entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, performed by Kriti Maharaj. So as we all know in the previous chapter, Kriti Maharaj wanted to do Ashwamedha Yajna, 100 horse sacrifice. So with that desire, he started the sacrifice and so many great souls were present there. And then apparently Indra got very much envy of Kriti Maharaj because he was exceeding in the fruitive activities more than him. So he was trying to somehow stop that by stealing the horse from the sacrificial arena. And again after that, when he was chased, then he was like dressed like a sannyasi and coming to steal. So that's how they said that Indra was the one who has introduced the sannyas system, like Nityachara Savachate, Krishna says in Gita 3rd chapter, Dharmendriyani Samyamya Yahaste Manasasvara Indriyartha Vimulatma Nityachara Savachate, like externally dressing like a sannyas but internally meditating on the sense objects. So that was the the cheating way of sannyas. So Indra was the one who introduced that type of sannyas system. So that's what it was discussed. And later on we come to know that Brahma, he came and told Ruta Maharaj that because Indra is doing so many irreligious things, so better you stop here at the 99, finish there, don't continue this. So you should better stop, otherwise he'll continue to do this more illegal. So you'll be causing him to do more irreligious things. So Brahma instructed him like that, and Rudra Maharaj very kindly agreed to that. And then this chapter begins. This chapter begins Lord Vishnu coming to the arena of the sacrifice, which being very pleased by the sacrifice performed by Rudra Maharaj, Lord Vishnu, he comes to the sacrificial arena along with Indra. So along with Indra, he comes and he tells Rudra Maharaj to forgive him for all the disturbance he caused in the process of performing this great sacrifice of Ashwamedha Yajna. Then after that, the Lord, instructs Rudra Maharaj, the intelligence do not get addicted to the material body. Material body is temporary and the soul is eternal. So one should not get attached to all the activities that are connected to the material body. So intelligent do not get addicted to the material body. That knowledge is giving. Then he is also telling Rudra Maharaj that how one has to be equipoised in all situations. Whether one is higher than you or equal to you or lower than you, still you have to treat everybody equally. Then he is telling what is the prescribed duty, occupational duty for a king. For a king, the occupational duty is to rule the kingdom and protect the citizens. That is the main prescribed duty for the king. And if he successfully protects the citizens and does his prescribed occupational duty of protecting the citizens, then he will automatically get the result of, like in the next life, he will enjoy the 1/6 of the portion of this pious activities he will receive in return. Otherwise, if the king goes on levying taxes and do not protect the citizens, then what will happen? His own reactions, his own pious activities will be taken away, and also he has to suffer for the irreligious activities of his citizens. So this is what that is why he said that now your prescribed duty is to follow the occupational duty of the king of protecting the citizen. That is the main occupational duty for any king. So that he instructed, and then he wanted to give benediction to Rudra Maharaj. That is where this verse is coming. My dear Lord, you are the best of the demigods who can offer benedictions. Why therefore should any person ask you for benedictions meant for living in peace bewildered by the modes of nature? So a learned person should not ask something that people who are bewildered by the three modes of material nature, because he knows that this material world is temporary and this body is also temporary, the soul is eternal. So having this knowledge, which learned person will ask for benedictions that will perpetuate him in the cycle of samsara of repeated birth and death? That's what he is telling. Why therefore should any learned person ask for benediction meant for living as is bewildered by the modes of material nature? So many people, the karmis, like Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that they aspire to go to heavenly planets. What do? Traividya maam suma paputa papa yagne rishva swargatim prarthayante te punya masadya surendra lokam ashnanti divyam divideva bhogam. What is that? By studying the Vedas, by seeking the, by drinking the soma juice, they desire to achieve heavenly planets by exhausting all, by accumulating the pious results of their, by diminishing all the sinful reactions, they attain to the heavenly planets of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. So once they go to the heavenly planets by accumulating this piety, and after going there, what happens? After going to the heavenly planets, they have to further their God consciousness, but that doesn't happen. What happens? They start to enjoy, because material, the heavenly planets, the duration of life is much longer than the earth planet, because 6 months of earth is 1 day in heavenly planets. So the duration of life is long, and there's more opulence, Nandana gardens, and all the angel and women dancing, wine and women, there's so much profuse enjoyment that we get caught up in that enjoyment mode, and whatever piety we would have accumulated, like 90% whatever, then when we start to enjoy, we start to exhaust all that, like 90 will become 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, 2, 0. Then when that happens, This living entity, he will fall onto the earth from the heavenly planets in the form of rain. And the rain will fall on the grain. And the grains are eaten by the living entity, human being, eaten by the living entity, and it is transformed into semen. And during the time of this thing, they inject this living entity in the womb of the mother, and the living entity takes birth again on this on the earth. Again, he begins to accumulate the pious activities. Again, he goes to Swarga and he comes back. Krishna says in 9th chapter, Tetam bhukva swargalokam vishalam kshine punye matya lokam vishanti evam trai dharma manuprapanna gata gatam kama kama ladante. When they have thus enjoyed a vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. It is like a going from, there are three classes of jail. Third class jail is having just one ground, and just in the corner there is one pot of water. That's all. That is third class jail. Second class jail has got one mattress and one small fridge and one small television. That's it. And the first class jail has got hi-fi, 24 hours internet, and very comfortable bed, and then the big fridge, the air conditioner, everything. And third class jail person, he is always thinking, when will I go to first class jail? Because there is 24 hours internet, you know, now. This is what now everybody wants, 24 hours Wi-Fi, no? So the third class jail person is always thinking, when will I go be promoted to the first class jail? So what should one be thinking? Jail is jail. We are still confined, we are still bound. So he should always think of getting out of the jail. So that is what the living entity is. From this is third class jail, then heavenly planets is first class jail. They are trying to go from here to first class jail so that they can have more enjoyment. But then, when everything goes, then they come back. Just like a ferris wheel. Have you seen ferris wheel? It goes from down to up, again down. So this is how the living entity constantly is transmigrating from one body to another, transmigrating in various species and going up and down by doing this. So this is the what is called karmis. They desire to go to heavenly planets. And then of course jnanis, they want to merge into the effulgence of the Lord. So that's called Kaivalya liberation. So now Rishabhadev, he is telling in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Nayam Devo Deha Bhajan Loke Kashtan Kaman Arhati Vidhujame Tapo Divyam Putrakeena Sattam Shudhye Dyasmat Brahma Saukyam Pranantam. Rishabhadev, he is instructing his 100 sons, of all the bodies the living entities get, the different types of material bodies the living entities get, the human form of life is the highest form of life, where, you know, one should not work hard day and night for sense gratification. Because it is automatically achieved in any form of life, even in the hellish condition. That's what this verse says. Such benedictions are available automatically even in the lives of living entities suffering in hellish conditions. One should not use the valuable human energy for day and night for sense gratification, which is automatically attained. Why do you have to endeavor for that? That same endeavor you do for austerities and penances, by that you get the divine position of devotional service to the Lord, which is Brahma Saukyam Panantam, which is unending, eternal bliss, and so much happiness that is never ending, you know. So Rishabhadev is instructing his 100 sons, do not endeavor for this. No? This is all temporary, and in any form of life, sense gratification is automatically attained. You don't have to endeavor. People are in this world endeavoring so much day and night for something that is so temporary, and then next life they are again beginning from the beginning. So it is so much waste of human energy, that even the energy that we get is given by the Lord. So that should not be wastefully used in this useless endeavors. So rather than that, you cultivate Krishna consciousness, which is going to give you very eternal blissful, which is never going to end. It's going to be forever. So that is what Rishabhadev says. And also Dhruva Maharaj, he also prayed that in the beginning, we all know how Dhruva Maharaj, he was a neophyte, like even in the Bhagavad Gita they say that Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Janasukrutino Arjuna Artho Jignasarathi Jnani Chabratarsava. Oh, best among the Bhartas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. Who are those four pious people? The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for the knowledge of the Absolute. In which category does Guru Maharaj come in these four?
Desirer of wealth.
So Guru Maharaj, he approached the Lord because with the intention of getting something materially in return. Like, because he, we know that how Uttanapada was very partial, he was taking the side of Suruchi, and Suruchi was very harshly speaking to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj felt so much hurt that he said that even such a small boy, he was so much, this Kshatriya spirit within him was so strong. So he wanted to get a position even higher than his great-grandfather Lord Brahma. He wanted to get a planet which would be even greater than Lord Brahma. So like that, initially he approached the Lord with this material motives. But ultimately when he had the darshan of the Lord, then in that section of Bhagavatam it is said before and after. What was he before? After the Lord touched the conchal and the head of Guru Maharaj, was completely transformed. Like what? Before and after. When usually in the television we see that they show the head before the head is bald. Then we apply all these treatments, then after, then we see the hair coming back. So like that, before and after, what was Guru Maharaj before and after the Lord gave his mercy after touching the conscience to his head, was completely transformed. He realized his real true spiritual identity. Then he realized that how silly was that. Then he says his prayers. Initially he was in very awkward position, understanding he was trying, wanted to say the prayers to the Lord, but he was, because he was he was young and unintelligent, the Lord understood, understanding his awkward position, he touched the conscience and immediately there was a big transformation in the consciousness of Guru Maharaj, and he started to offer prayers to the Lord. And one of those prayers he offered to the Lord was, persons who worship you simply for the sense gratification of the bag of skin. He considers this body as a bag of skin. Persons who worship you simply for the sense gratification of this bag of skin are certainly influenced by your illusory energy. In spite of having you, who are like a desire tree, you are like a desire functioning tree who can offer one liberation from this repeated cycle of birth and death. But I was also one such foolish person who asked you for the sense gratification of this bag of skin. So Guru Maharaj is saying that I was also one such person who desired benediction from you for sense gratification, which is available even to the lowest, even to the people who are in the hellish conditions. That's what we are reading in this verse. Our sense gratification is automatic in whichever form. We don't have to endeavor for that. Just like happiness and distress automatically come without our inviting it. So similarly, this is automatically get this in any form of life. So we should not work hard for these temporary things. Even Prahlad Maharaj was offered benediction by Narasimhadev. Lord Narasimhadev said that, please now tell me what benediction can I give you. Then Prahlad Maharaj said that, please, I do not want any benediction from you because I am already born in an atheistic family who is very much attached to sense gratification. Please do not tempt me with these material illusions. Already I am addicted. Already I am attached to sense gratification. Please do not tempt me with these material illusions. I don't want anything. Because of the long time lusty desires within our core of our heart, we are being continuously in the material existence. Please do not give me that which will again perpetuate me in this material existence. So I want to have only one relationship with you. What is that? I want to be your eternal servant and I want you to be my eternal master. I don't want to do any business dealing with you, I don't want to be a merchant, Merchant, what does he think? He always wants more than what he gives,
What is who is Mustang? He always wants to get more than what he gives, you know. That I don't want to have such mentality, you know, I don't want to have that type of relationship with you. I want to be your unalloyed devotee, I want to serve you eternally, I want you to be my eternal, and I don't want any other relationship with other than this eternal master and such. So I don't want to be have a business dealing. So like, and then he says, if at all you want to benefit me, I only desire that from the core of my heart, I don't have any material desires, you know. So because of that, I'm continuously going in the material existence. Please see that from the core of my heart, I don't have all the material desires are removed from the core of my heart. That is the prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. And also the devotees, there are here it is said that the Lord is called Kaivalyapati, like he is the my dear Lord, you are certainly, you bestow nourishing into your existence. So there are five kinds of liberations. What are they? Salokya. Salokya is living on the same planet as the Lord. Living on the same planet where the Lord is living, that is called Salokya Mukti. And then Salokya Sarupya, having same bodily features as the Lord, Rupa. Say, having same bodily features as the Lord. Sarshti is having the same opulences as the Lord. And then Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, being an associate of the Lord. As constantly associate of the Lord. These liberations we get when we go to Vaikuntha planets, these different liberations. And also finally the Ekatva, merging with the Lord. So these five liberations, even they are offered to the devotees, they do not want any of them. Because while they are performing devotional service to the Lord, they are already in the stage of these five liberations. They are already achieved these five liberations. Because they are already, devotional service itself is so much liberating. Even like, you know, Mukti Devi, she comes and stands at the lotus feet of like bhakti. The Lord will give liberation very easily, but he will not give bhakti. Why? By bhakti, he can be purchased. Like even in the Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravindayo Vachamshi Vaikuntha Dunanuvarnane Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Adishu Shrutim Chakarachita Sattatodaye Mukunda Lingala. Like Ambarish Maharaj, he was so pure devotee of the Lord. He performed all the 9 hours of devotional service to the Lord. And the Lord says that, people think that I am Swatantra, I am independent. Actually, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees, by devotional service, they completely put me under their control. You know? I am not at all independent. Yes, Swatantra, Kivatvija, Sadhubir Grashtar Hudaya, Bhakte Bhakta Janapriya, Aham Bhakta Paradino. Like the Lord says that I am not at all independent. People think I am independent, but I am not at all independent. Why? Because the devotees, by performing their devotional service, giving up everything, they completely control me, you know. In that way, I am not at all independent. So like that, the Lord comes under the control of the devotee. That is why he is very, very careful when he gives bhakti. Mukti he will give very liberally, because you know Mukti. So that is why the bhakti is the devotees, they want constantly devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Nadhanam Najanam na Sundarim Kavitamva Jagadisha Kamahe Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhavata Bhakti Ahitukitvai. I do not want any beautiful women or followers. I only want your devotional service birth after birth. Even Hanuman was also given offered liberation. He said that if I don't have bhakti, what sort of liberation? You know, I don't want any bhakti, I go life after life, I want your devotional service. So even Lord Shiva also tells to Parvati in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ayana Parasabe na Kutaschana Bibhyati Swargapavarga Narkeshu Apitulyatna Darshanam. Devotees solely engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God and Narayana never fear any condition of life. For them, living on the heavenly planets or on earthly planets or in the hellish planets, as long as they have devotional service, they don't even want to liberate from repeated birth and death. Wherever they are there, if they have devotional service, they are very happy. They don't hanker for anything. Even the five kinds of liberation, the devotees, they don't want it. But if the Lord offers, At least they were not mind the four kinds of liberations, but definitely not this Kaivalya, this impersonal, like merging into the Lord, because that they definitely want, because they don't want, because it is like Naraka, hell, because there is no service opportunity there and there is every chance of falling down from there. So that is why the devotees, they definitely don't want that type of liberation. So again, coming back to this, Prahlad Maharaj said, and then this five kinds of liberations also, they don't want. So the devotees, they are very, very blissful. In as long as they have devotional service, karmana, manasa, gira, even in this material world, they are in the liberated condition because they are engaged in devotional service of the Lord. So today is Madhvacharya's disappearance day. We can read a little bit of about Madhvacharya. Sripal Madhvacharya took his birth at Udupi, which is situated in the South Canada province and is near the city of Mangalore, which is situated to the south of Udupi. In the city of Udupi is a place called Pajaka Kshetra, where Madhvacharya took his birth in a Shivalli Brahmana dynasty as the son of Madhya Geha Bhatta in the year 1040 of Shatabda. In his childhood, Madhvacharya was known as Vasudeva, and there are some wonderful stories surrounding him. It is said that his father piled up many debts and Madhvacharya converted tamarind seeds into actual coins to pay them off. When he was 5 years old, he was offered the sacred thread. One demon named Maniman lived near his abode in the form of a snake, and at the age of five, Madhvacharya killed that snake with the toe of his left foot. When his mother was very disturbed, he would appear before him in one jump. He was a great scholar even in childhood, and although his father did not agree, he accepted sannyas at the age of 12. After receiving sannyas from the Achyuta Preksha, he received the name Purna Prajna Tirtha. Madhvacharya went to the Badrika Ashram. It was there that he met Vyasadeva and explained the commentary on Bhagavad Gita before him. Thus he became a great scholar by studying before Vyasadeva. Madhvacharya, when he returned to Udupi, he would sometimes bathe in the ocean. Once while sitting beside the sea, engrossed in meditation upon Lord Sri Krishna, he saw that a large boat containing goods for Dwaraka was in danger. He gave some signs by which the boat could approach the shore, and it was saved. The owners of the boat wanted to give him a present, and at that time Madhvacharya agreed to take some Gopi Chandan. He received a big lump of Gopi Chandana, and as it is, was being brought to him, it broke apart and revealed a large deity of Lord Sri Krishna. The deity had a stick in one hand and a lump of food in the other. As soon as Madhvacharya received the deity of Krishna in this way, he composed a prayer. The deity was so heavy that not even 30 people could raise it. Madhvacharya personally brought this deity to Udupi. Madhvacharya had 8 disciples, all of whom took sannyas from him and became directors of his 8 monasteries. Worship of the Lord Krishna deity is still going on at Udupi according to the plans of Madhvacharya established. So this beautiful deity of Krishna is there in Udupi, and recently Vedavyas Priya Maharaj, he took so many of his disciples and other well-wishers to the this holy dam of Udupi and so many other holy places. So actually, originally by birth, I come from Madhva Sampradaya. Madhvacharya is in our disciplic, so he is in the 5th in our disciplic succession. So our disciplic is like Madhva, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Madhvacharya was there. So I originally come from Madhva Deshastha family, and I was brought up under the care of my grandparents, and it was a very auspicious, by Krishna's mercy, I was given a good birth in a Brahmana family. Like Krishna says in 6th chapter that of Gita, that Arjuna asked this question, what is the destination of one who has taken his devotion in the beginning with all seriousness, and later this is due to worldly mindedness. And in the beginning he has taken the devotion, he has given up all the material things and he has taken up the devotion, spiritual path, but he has neither completed that nor this, and he is like a ribbon cloud with no position in his sphere. Krishna says that, you know, like, you know, one who has taken this auspicious path will never be, will never overcome and will never face any evil in their life. Like either they have done for short time, they take birth in the either Brahmana family or a Vaishya family. In a Brahmana family, what is the good thing about it? From the beginning, the good samskaras are instilled in the consciousness so that that can be very favorable to take up devotional service to Krishna. Otherwise, on the other hand, it's one thing he says is, if somebody for a short time, if they are done, they will be given opportunity to be born in a Brahmana family or in a Vaishya family. So taking birth in a Vaishya family is good, that because for us, like Krishna says in Gita, that even for the maintenance of the body, we have to work. So in the Vaishya, in a Vaishya family, from the beginning, Srimatam means they are rich, aristocratic. From the beginning, they are born in a very financially very well off, like, you know, opulent families, so that they don't have to work hard for the daily necessities, and they, that opportunity is given so that that time is saved to further their God consciousness. So these are the facilities that Krishna gives. Even that is why this bhakti is so powerful. Even little bit of performance of bhakti is never lost at any time. That is what, if I accumulate millions of dollars in my bank and if I die, next life I have to start with zero. But bhakti is so powerful. Whatever neha vikramana shosti pratyavayana vijyate svalpa bhaktiyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In this endeavor there is no loss of diminution. Even a little advancement on svalpa bhaktiyasya, even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So Krishna is guaranteeing Arjuna that even if somebody has done for short time, still they are going to be given very good opportunity of taking birth in a Brahmana family or a Vaishya family. Or like if somebody has done for a long time, then they will be given in birth in a transcendental family. The example is Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. He writes in the purport that we got the opportunity to be born in the transcendental family because of the already done for so long, in the next life they automatically become attracted to this yogic principle, devotional life, and they further their God consciousness, and then they automatically get attracted because of the previous life. They get attracted to, because devotional service is a continual process, it is not one life thing. So whatever today we have, because of our sukriti, like, you know, past life, whatever the devotion we have done, we also know the Gajendra Moksha. How Gajendra in the previous life was Indradyumna Maharaj, and he performed great, like he chanted so many, he performed great austerities, meditation, and did so much meditation on the Lord, said pray so many prayers. Because of that, in the next life, he was cursed to become an elephant, and then he could still remember the glories of the Lord when he was in real distress. That's the example of Chaturvidhata Jantena also. So he remembered the Lord. So devotion to the Lord is never lost. It is, comes with the soul. That is why all our energy, like Rishabhadeva said, that don't waste your human form of life, which is rarely attained for the sense gratification, because which is automatic in any condition of life, hellish condition. So you don't have to endeavor for that. So that endeavor you put for penances and austerities, so that you get that position. Dvanantam, like, you know, which blissful eternal position, serving in the devotional service to the Lord, which is eternal, blissful, and which will never end forever. So Krishna's bhakti is very, very potent. Like we, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, how Prahlad Maharaj taught. So of all the things, Shravanam is the most important. Like the bhakti begins with Shravanam. That is why in the entire Bhagavatam, even Parikshit Maharaj at the end of the 19th chapter of the first canto, he asked these two questions to Sukadeva Goswami. First he asked the sages who were assembled from all over the universe. Then he again repeats the same question to Sukadeva Goswami. What is that? What is the duty of everyone at all times? And what, especially what is the duty of a person who is about to die? This question is asked twice to the sages who were assembled and also to Sukadeva Goswami. And he also asked what one should be doing and what one should not be doing. How one should, what one should be doing, what one should not be doing. So then Sukadeva Goswami, he be, and the answer to this question, two questions, forms the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, all the 12 cantos. So important, because it is not only Parikshit's question, it is all of us. We are all going to die also, right? So Parikshit is asking on our behalf also, like we are all going to die also. These questions are for us also. What is the duty of everyone at all times, and what is the duty of a person who is on the verge of death? So the answer to this question is the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and what one should be doing and what one should not be doing. How then Sukadeva Goswami in the second canto, he begins very, very powerfully what one should not be doing. Persons who are addicted to, like, you know, they completely hear about all these mundane subject matters. What one should not be doing means they are doing these things. They are like in the night, you know, deha patra kalatra adesha atma sainyesha tutsvati desham tamatto nidhanam pashyan apina pashyati nidraya hriyate naktam yavayena chabhavayaha divachate haya rajan kutumba varanenava. In the daytime, they engage in either earning money or looking after family members. In the night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence. They have no higher goal of life. So what one should not be doing and what one should be doing. Shravanam, Kirtanam, like all this, you know, one should hear about the Lord, glorify the Lord, worship the Lord, and remember Ante Narayana Smriti. That is the main goal of human life. Not for anything that we do is Shrama Evahi Kevalam, other than devotional service, whatever we do. Although there are karma, akarma, vikarma, in a broader sense, karma and vikarma are also abominable only. They are not. They are, in a broader sense, they are all. They both are vikarmas only. Because why is that? Only akarma is the best. Because action that doesn't lead to reaction. So action in inaction, inaction in action. Like Krishna says in 4th chapter, karmanohyapi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. That is why even in this chapter, Prithu Maharaj, the Lord, he tells to Prithu Maharaj, follow the authorities. Because we do not know what is the standard action that we should do. That is why we have to follow the authorities. Then he says that, in the 4th chapter, the Lord says that one should not act independent of ourselves. Like we have to always follow the authority. Because we don't know what is the standard action. What action will lead to reaction, what action will lead to liberate. So we don't know that. So we have to always follow the authorities. There are 12 authorities. Svayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu. So we have to dharma is an enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Dharmam tashakshat bhagavat pranitam. We have to learn how to follow this dharma by these 12 mahajans. So here also in this chapter, the Lord is telling Prithu Maharaj to follow the brahmanas, the authorities, whatever they tell, you have to do. So that's why it is very important that we follow the authorities and we learn from the experienced people. Not that our actions will be independently doing, then we will not. Like even Krishna also very mercifully instructed Arjuna. Because Arjuna was very confused what action he should be doing. In the beginning he gave 5 reasons desiring not to fight. Compassion, enjoyment, fear of sinful reactions, destruction of dynasty, and the last one is indecision. By telling all these things, he was totally confused, and at that time he surrendered to Krishna. Karpanya dosha pahata svabhava pruchamitam dharma sammuda chetaha ekchreyasya nishchitam ruhitanme shishyasteham sadhi mamtvam prapannam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So that is our position. We don't know what action we should be doing. So Krishna instructed Arjuna, like Arjuna got this knowledge from Krishna, like what action he should be doing. Like, you know, Arjuna was declining to fight. He wanted to go to forest because the third reason he gave was fear of sinful reactions. Arjuna thought that if I fight, kill all these people, I'll be incurring sin and I'll be going to hell for millions of lives and I'll suffer. So better I go to forest, I renounce, so that I will not get any reaction. But Krishna is telling, no. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. You cannot renounce work, Arjuna, because renunciation of work is telling that the nature of the soul is active. You cannot be inactive at any point of time. So that is why you better perform devotions, like listening to me, because the nature of the soul is to be active. You have to act. If you don't act for Krishna, then you will act for Maya. So these are the only two choices. If you don't listen to me, even in the 18th chapter, Krishna says that if you don't listen to me and act according to your false ego, then you will be lost. That is why we need this authority. We have to hear. We don't know what is standard action. Krishna says that the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. No one knows what action he should be doing. And even he says, evam jnatva kritam karma purvairapi mumukshibhi kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvairapurvataram kritam. He says that all liberated souls acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should also follow in their footsteps. You know, you should follow in the footsteps. Those who have already perfected their lives, you have to follow in their footsteps. Otherwise, we don't know what is a standard action we should do. So Arjuna was very lucky. Krishna was personally present and he was guiding him. You do this, you do this. But today we have the representatives of Krishna who are in the disciplic line. Krishna also says in evam parampara praptam, how to get this transcendental knowledge? Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya viduru sakale neya mata yoga nastha paratapa. He says that imam vivash. So how Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita to Vivashvam, to Manu and to Ikshvaku. So like that, Krishna, we have to understand from the bona fide sources how we have to act, what is standard action, what will cause reaction, what will free one from action. So this we can learn from experienced devotees who have gone through that, so that we can also attain to their realization, and we can also finish this repeated cycle of birth and end and go to the Lord. But of course, devotional service, wherever we are still in a liberated condition, we are still blissful. That's what Chitraket, the Lord Shiva tells to Parvati, that Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Api Tulyatu Darshan. Even if you are in hell or heaven or earth, still if you are in devotional service, you are in a liberated condition. You don't have to get these five kinds of liberation. While doing devotional service, we are in a liberated condition. We are very blissful because we know that we are not this body. When we do deity worship also, we pray to the Lord, I am none of these elements. You know, I am your gopi bhaktu padakamalayo dasa dasa nadasa, and your eternal servant only. So Krishna's swarup, Jivera's swarup only, Krishna's nitya das. We are Krishna's part and parcel. We are meant to serve Krishna. That is the only way we can be happy. Otherwise, there is no way we can be happy in this life. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Can you explain a little bit more about the deity of Madhavacharya? Have you visited that temple, please?
I did visit that temple, of course, like Madhavacharya, that Chandan, when he was gifted, it broke and the deity appeared from the inside, and Madhvacharya, he installed deity in the in Udupi. So all the like all these eight monasteries, they are all like different names are there. The different mathas are there. Then they follow that teachings. And Madhvacharya was also like he installed this deity, and like there was one devotee. He was called. He was born in a very low family, so they wouldn't allow him to come into the temple because he was like scheduled caste, like the Delta, no? So he was not allowed to come to the temple, inside the temple, and then he was prohibited, and the Lord, he turned to give darshan to that devotee. Like, you know, later on they understood that, like, you know, because generally in India, like, you know, they are very, they see this caste system, no? Krishna says that Chaturvanyamaya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga. He doesn't say Janma Karma Vibhaga Saha. Guna Karma Vibhaga Saha. So Guna and Karma of a devotee is more important than Janma Karma. So they are seeing he is born in a low family, they wouldn't allow him. But the deity, because he was allowed to see from outside, so the deity himself, he turned so that he wanted to give darshan to this. He's a very famous devotee. His name is, it's called Kanakadasaru, Kanakadasaru, no? He was a very pure devotee of the Lord, and he was so, like, there's a movie also in India, like Kanakadasaru. He was so devoted to the deity of Krishna that even, like, actually he had a son, and he was like, his wife told him, can you please look after the son, like, you know, while I'm not there, like, you know, he just, like, while worshipping the deity, like, you know, he happened to do, like, he was stepping on this, like, this Bhakta Kumbhara also, there is, he was, this is another devotee, Bhakta Kumbhara, like that, he was stepping, he was a pot maker, actually, he was a great devotee of Krishna, and he was, like, while making pots, no, he was putting his, like, on the, this mud, he used to step on the mud like that, and he was, like, constantly in the devotion, like, glorifying the Lord and meditation on the Lord, even while doing his activity. And his wife told, can you look after this child? And the child crawled and came into the mud. He went on, like, you know, then the child was killed. And then the wife came and told, what is this? Like, you know, you are not looking up. You need to come up. Look, our child is dead. She was crying and she was really blaming him so much. See, because you said always the Lord, Lord, look what you did. My child is killed. What is this? Then she started to cry, and then this, then he also started, he realized what happened, and he was crying so much, oh Lord, please protect, like, then the Lord, no, he gives that baby, like that, you know, then she, that time she just, you are saying, Lord, 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 now bring back our dead child, you know, bring back our dead child, see, you are so much, like, you are neglecting your duties of looking, you didn't do your duty of looking, and you are like, Lord, Lord, now you bring back, the Lord is really, you are so much praying to the Lord, if the Lord really will bring back the child, then he was crying, and he was praying to the Lord, and he sings, that time the Lord brings, the Lord gives the baby back, like, you know, then she takes, then she says, then that time she believe, yeah, she will also become a devotee, like that. So like that, this great, Kanakadasaru, he was also such a pure devotee of the Lord, but still, because he was outcast, they were not allowing him to come into the temple, but the Lord, he turned himself and gave darshan. Then later on, then they all also accepted. So in India, this caste system is very much, even today in so many temples in Jagannath Puri also, they are, like, in Jagannath Puri they are a little more liberal, like, they only ask, are you Hindu, like that. But in Madhvacharya, in Udupi temple and all, especially in certain areas, they only allow, like, you know, if you are Brahmana and if you are wearing the Brahman thread, only they allow, not everywhere, in certain areas where the sannyasis and all they are there. In those areas, if you want to have prasadam and all, they don't allow anyone and everyone, like, you know, to enter into that area. They still that, they think that, even in India, like when we go for Dwadasi, like in India, if I'm there, if I live near the ISKCON temple, I go. Otherwise, I go to some temple of Krishna, which is near my house where I stay in India. So when I go there on the Ekadasi, on the Dwadasi day, all these Brahmanas, those who do complete nirjal, they only take the tirtha, they don't eat anything. And they are very, like, pakka Brahmanas, they are followers of Brahmanical culture, like that. They all come to the temple and then they see the abhishek offered to the Lord and the big aarti they do. And very early, like 6:30, they serve prasadam there. And everybody is sitting there and they do a lot of charities to everybody. They sing, they glorify the Lord, then they have prasadam like that. So this culture of Madhvacharya, they are still, like, you know, very Brahmanical. There are lot of people in India still in Bangalore and places where they are really following that good culture of, and they are all worship Krishna only. Then before they say Govinda, Govinda, like that. They are all devotees of Krishna only. But they're little. But Madhvacharya's, this thing is little more ritualistic. More they follow the rituals like that.
Of course, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Lord says Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, Vismartavya Najatati, Sadevidhi Nishetasya, Etayoreva Kinkaraha. All the principles that are there are subservient to the main big principle. What is that? Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Sometimes we get so much caught up in these rituals of not touching, too much rules and regulations, we forget why we are going. In the story of this Krishna, this Brahmanas, no? Wives of Brahmanas, all the wives of Brahmanas, like, you know, the Brahmanas, they were performing very elaborate sacrifices, chanting the Vedic mantras very loudly, and the wives, they were very sincerely cooking the offering to the Lord like that. That time, very nearby, Krishna and Balaram playing, the cowherd and the boys, they were feeling very hungry. They said, Krishna, we are so hungry, can you provide us? They said, go and ask those Brahmanas, they are doing it. No, 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 don't come now, come later, we are doing yajnas, you know, don't come. No, Krishna has sent us, oh, you come later, not now. After finish, we'll do it. Then Krishna would see, this is what the answer we got. Okay, go and ask the wives, you know. The wife said, oh, Krishna has sent, come on, take everything, like they gave. And what is in the Brahmanas, then they are all the covered by, they're taking everything, and the wives are also running. Now, where are you people going? Why are you going? What is this? To hell with your the yagnas, danas, tapas and all. What is this? For everything, Veda is to serve. Ahameva Vedya, Vedanta Krishna. By all the Vedas, I am you have to worship Krishna by all the Vedic. You have to satisfy the Lord. If you are not able to do this, what is this yagnas you are doing? When the Lord, by all this yagnas, you have to satisfy Lord Vishnu. When Vishnu is coming and asking, you don't want to give? Then they take everything and give it to Krishna, they offer. Then the Brahmanas, they fall and they think that, oh my God, we are so less intelligent. Our wives are so more intelligent. They knew the purpose, purpose behind doing everything. But we missed out the goal. Like, you know, then they also surrendered to the Lord. So like that, ultimately, what for we are doing, if we don't come to that conclusion, to whom to satisfy? Krishna says, Yagnartha, like, you know, by all the yagnas, aham hi sarva yagnanam bhokta chakra, I am the enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Huh? Then we don't satisfy Krishna, what is the use of? Sramaya vehi kevalam, everything is Sramaya vehi kevalam. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.